You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We are back, the dynamic duo, Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, talking Timberwolves basketball. And it is game time, folks. We are talking about the New York Knicks because basketball is back. Live action was back last night. I was watching tons of basketball, super happy to be done with the All-Star break. And now the Timberwolves basketball is back tonight. They are in New York. Trey, this is one of the easiest games on the Timberwolves schedule with their 25 remaining games left. This has got to be one of like the top three easiest games for them. Maybe the easiest.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. And New York has one of the worst basketball teams they've had in New York Knicks history right now. They were on an 18-game losing streak two days before All-Star break on February 13th. And that was the longest losing streak they've ever had. So that's saying a lot. And they lost to some pretty good teams, but they also lost to teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers. So there's a good mix of really good teams and really bad teams in those 18 losses. However, they did end their streak before All-Star break, and they did come away with a win against Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta. And so it's not saying too much, but it still is a W, and a W is a W. And I know, Colin, we talked about when can Minnesota chalk up their wins, and Minnesota is coming off the two wins against the Clippers and Rockets. So I am feeling fairly confident going into this game. My main issue with this is that New York's just coming off that W. And with that Dennis Smith Jr. and DeAndre Jordan acquisition, this team does look a little bit more jumpy, literally and metaphorically, where they are ready to just, you know, play teams and just try to win games, and they look more excited. They have had a lot of drama recently in the past week, but like not a lot, but just some drama in the news. But they're coming off a win, so anything is possible for New York right now.
We're going to get into some stats and some predictions later, but I wanted to ask you, first of all, was this like the worst timed All-Star break for the Timberwolves? Just coming into those two games, getting wins by 10 points over playoff teams and scoring and topping both teams, even though they had players in both nights in Lou Williams and James Harden, who went off for over 40 points. This has got to be like the worst time All-Star break for the Timberwolves, right? I mean, you hope that they can carry the momentum over through the week and into this game. They're getting a cream puff team this Friday tonight against the Knicks to try and keep that streak alive. But even with all of that, it's got to be one of the worst All-Star breaks just in, as far as timing for the Timberwolves in a long time.
Face value, I think so. I might have to disagree a little bit just because the two wins are obviously really great wins. It's just I've seen the Timberwolves this season get two or three wins in a row, and I think we had three wins in a row about like 2 weeks before those two wins in a row. And then we go into our next seven games going 2-for-6 or next 2-for-5. And that's just the kind of streaks Minnesota goes on. Like, they were on a four-game losing streak before their two wins in a row. And those two wins in a row, I think, have a lot to do with, one, changing the roster up a little bit with Andrew Wiggins out. Two, getting Derrick Rose back and Jeff Teague looking a little bit more healthy off the bench too. And then three, Ryan Saunders really figuring out finally he needs to give Darius Arch more minutes. So there are a couple different, you know, reasons why those two wins happened. So I do agree with you in the sense that I'd like to keep that going. But this is why I would disagree. Just because the All-Star break is giving these guys time to rest. And like I said in the past pod, with Derrick Rose not getting the All-Star game, even though it sucks, I mean, the dude's playing on half a knee right now. And so having him be able to rest for a week, week and a half, and then having guys like Robert Covington, who have been making a lot of strides recently on coming back, being very open about wanting to come back fairly soon. He was a full he was participating in practice recently. And you have guys like Tyus Jones, who fully participated in practice recently. So there's a lot of players that are going to be coming back to this Minnesota Timberwolves roster. And oftentimes the players come back from injury to the roster, it gets a little bit shaky, but I think these guys are going to jump in seamlessly. And I hope they jump in after our road games this upcoming weekend. So we have New York tonight and Milwaukee on Saturday and Sacramento on Monday. I hope we can get Robert Covington or Tyus Jones, one of those guys, at least back by Sacramento's game.
And you mentioned health, looking at just the injury report. Wiggins, who's been held out with illness, is expected to return. This is all, by the way, from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And Tyus Jones, who is sidelined with a high ankle sprain, is projected to return against the Knicks. Both of those guys coming back to the lineup as well. One interesting one, Gorgui, it looks like he will not play because of a personal matter. So you talked about, I believe that was just yesterday, you were talking about his per 36 minutes and how he's played over the last couple of weeks. So him being out with this personal matter is a little bit of an interesting wrinkle. But still, this is one of the healthier rosters right now that the Timberwolves have had going into the last 25 games and going into this Friday matchup. So maybe I'm being a little pessimistic, but you're right. The All-Star break was an opportunity to get some of these guys well and get the most complete-looking roster they've had in quite some time. Do you think that you notice this, or do you think it's going to be a problem like we talked about yesterday that Wiggins is going to be back? I mean, this New York Knicks offense is really miserable, and I think that anybody out there is going to be able to put up more points than the Knicks.
Well, here's the thing. Even though I make jokes about – and actually, I'm not really making jokes. I'm kind of being serious that Lou Alden has been more efficient than Andrew Wiggins. You're going to still need the potential of Andrew Wiggins having an above average to good game against teams like Milwaukee on Saturday. So you don't necessarily want to sit Andrew Wiggins out for three games, even if he is still sick. So the possibility of him playing tonight, or I guess the probable possibility that he's going to play tonight, because I guess he's not sick anymore, that's probably a good sign, because we want him to go against teams like Milwaukee and then Sacramento that next game, because he is – he is a top five player on this team. And I know a lot of people are going to say he's our second best player. I don't agree. I would say he's probably the top five player on this team right now, probably three or four. And you're going to need a guy like that to be playing above average or pretty good to go against those top five teams in their conference, like Milwaukee or even Sacramento, who's been a top six, seven, eight team in the West. So you're going to need him for those games. So I can see him not playing against New York. In New York, in Madison Square Garden, and still getting the W with Luol Deng starting, but I still think he's going to need some good game time there. And I think he's going to be going against wings like Luke Kornet, Kevin Knox, Damian Dotson, John Jenkins, Kadeem Allen, Alonzo Trier. Like, some of those names sound like pretty good names, but we're talking about Andrew Wiggins. And if Andrew Wiggins can't come off like a 20-point game in this one, even if he shoots 22 shots, then that's not a good sign. But I would hope that Andrew Wiggins gets some playing time tonight, some substantial playing time, like let's say 30 minutes. Like nothing like he's been doing before. I don't want to see 36 minutes and 25 shots.
That's fair. I mean, these are not crazy requests. And he's coming off illness. You'd think he'd be on a little bit of a tighter minutes load, maybe a little less time on in the game just because coming off that illness more than anything else. So I expect to see that. We're going to get into some stats here, but first, let's take a break for some sponsors. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, we've been talking about the return to action for the Timberwolves. Now, let's get into some stats. I've got some stuff on the New York Knicks here that I found interesting. I was looking over, because you know this team is bad, right? And so everybody says when a team is bad that you look up stats, and or not everybody says this, but there's a lot of times where you look up stats and you find some interesting, like good stats, even if the team is mediocre or bad, that maybe stick out as, ooh, this could be a problem when your team plays them. No such luck, at least when looking at the New York Knicks offense. They're 26th in points per game, 105.3. They are dead last in made field goal percentage. They averaged 43% from the field. That's dead last in the NBA. And they are also dead last in, or not dead last, but second to last in three-point percentage with 33.6 three-pointers made per 3-point percentage, excuse me. They are 29th in the NBA there. And then in assists, they are last in assists with 19.9 assists per game, 30th in that stat. This is a really bad team, Trey.
Yeah, they're horrible. Like I was saying, I mean, it's the worst Knicks team I think we've maybe seen in New York Knicks history, which is actually saying a lot for some really piss poor years they've had in their history. So it's not a good sign. They obviously went all in by trading Kristaps Porzingis, their European savior, which they decided to forego to try to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving this summer. And with that possibility still looming, they're going to continue to play really crappy players because they really want Zion Williamson. They really want a top three, top five pick, and they're on their way to being number one pick in the draft, potentially. So there's always possibility that they don't get that. But you got to see New York's goal here is that they have Dennis Smith Jr., who's a solid point guard. He's only 21 years old. You have DeAndre Jordan, who's going to be off his contract, so he can sign again to a smaller deal or just go elsewhere. I can see him re-signing if they do get Kevin Durant and Kyrie, so that's interesting. And then they really want Zion, which would fill perfectly at the four if they want to put him there with the three. And, yeah, and their reserves, they got young guys. So if they want to go ahead and do that, that's fine to me. I mean, it sounds like an interesting team with Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, Alonzo Trier, Dennis Smith coming off the bench because you probably start Kyrie. Like, that's an interesting-looking team. So if I'm the New York Knicks, I'm just straight up tanking. Like, if I'm the GM, I'm telling the head coach, like, pull Dennis Smith out. Don't let him play more than 28 minutes. Don't let DeAndre Jordan play more than 28 minutes. Play guys like Noah Vonleh. Actually, he's been playing pretty well this season. Play guys like John Jenkins, 35 minutes in these games. Like, give them more time, or at least give younger guys more time. And if they end up with a win, then oh well. And that's kind of what happened against Atlanta. Atlanta was kind of doing the same thing. And so you kind of saw two similar bulls running at each other head first, and they didn't know how to handle it. It was just like Atlanta playing their crappiest players the most minutes, and they just did better than you. And then they just did worse than New York's. So with the Knicks coming off one win against Atlanta, it's not saying much. This team's just terrible. And I don't have any stats to give out that advanced metrics. You've pretty much thrown all of them out there. They're pretty much bottom five in every category you can think of. The only thing I will say is that DeAndre Jordan is going to give Karl-Anthony Towns a little bit of trouble. Not a lot, a little bit of trouble. You still see Towns get his own, a good 25-12. But the guy to watch out for maybe is if he gets a lot of minutes is Mitchell Robinson. And he's obviously a rookie. He's out of a high school, not out of a college. He was in a private academy, I believe. He's 19 years old. But without Gorgui Dieng in this one, the possibility of Gorgui Dieng being out for this game, Mitchell Robinson's going to kind of handle any defender he gets. Dario's good, but he's not that good on defense against big guys like that at Mitchell Robinson's size. So I can kind of see him taking over that backup unit. So we got to watch out for that for sure.
Dude, actually, quick side note. So at Summer League, I was really excited to watch Kevin Knox because I've been watching tons of Kevin Knox at Kentucky, and I really like how he fit onto the team, and I thought that he was going to be a really fun piece. And so I was really excited at Summer League to see him play on the Knicks. And I hadn't really seen a ton of tape from Mitchell Robinson, and I was at that game where they played, I believe that was the first game they had, against the Atlanta Hawks. And it was basically like a slam dunk contest for the New York Knicks. They had like six dunks in that game. And I was sitting on one of the media rows. I had just stayed all day, even though like you're technically in that second stadium at Vegas, the way they work it in the main stadium where they have their college basketball games. You're supposed to filter in and out because they have a media section right behind one of the backboards, right up against the wood floor, and so that's usually for media directly for the teams. And then they also have on the other side of the court, they have this big press row that goes from the wood floor all the way up to the back of the stadium, and that's where everybody is supposed to go. But I did not care at all because I did not see them highly kind of guarded or highly watched as far as who was sitting in that back meter row. So I was not covering either one of these teams specifically, but I sat right down on the wood and I was actually basically underneath the basket for almost, I would say 60% of those Knox dunks in that game and the New York dunks in that game. It was awesome. And so the hype for at least me, for Mitchell Robinson, is really high just because I got just jazzed to when I was watching him play in Summer League. So I'm really excited to just be, because I haven't watched a ton of New York Knicks basketball this year. So I'm just excited to watch Mitchell Robinson against kind of a poor defense in the Timberwolves, maybe have some cool dunks.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good story. I mean, how did he look, you know, in front of your eyes like that? Did he look like he was going to be like a future Hassan Whiteside, or did he look like he was going to be like a, I don't know, just a random center around the league, or did he look like he was actually going to be a starter?
He's not polished right now, and I don't know even if a center is the best comparison. I think he's probably going to end up kind of being one of those flex four guys type guys, because he's really fast, really long. He can get places in a hurry. I think maybe in the best case scenario, he turns into a four, but he needs to do a lot of work on his game because he's not super polished. He's not like Kevin Knox, where his game extends inside out. And I think it's pretty safe to say at any position, you have to have a polished game that extends to more than just one or two positions. And so he's got a lot to work on, but he is really fun to watch when he's around the basket, just jumping up, getting dunks, getting boards. So he's got some really raw talent, and I think that's going to take a couple of years for him to get where the Knicks really want him. But I don't think that takes away from the enjoyment factor when he's around the rim, when you're watching him, you know? And so he makes some weird plays, but he's also going to make some really fun plays. And if you're not a New York Knicks fan, I think it's not really going to cause you a ton of stress. I think you're going to enjoy it more than anything else.
Yeah. So I've watched a little bit of his tape, and I kind of feel the same way. I think he'll probably end up being a five, but just in this new league, since he's only like 19, 20 years old. I think he's 20 years old now. No correction there. But I've watched a little bit of his film. He is very athletic. I have a saying for like a lot of these like centers. I say for a couple of them, I got a list of like a good 8 to 10 of them who look like they just woke up from a coma from like 10 years. And they don't really know how to use their body. And there's a lot of centers around the league like that currently in the NBA. And Mitchell Robinson kind of looks like that right now, but he's only 20 years old. So it's really tough for me to say he's going to be in that coma stage for the rest of his life. And I have been looking at his numbers face value, because I've seen a lot of people write on Twitter that he's going to be a beast. And just to kind of give an idea here about why people can be immediately wrong with that is his per 36 numbers. Let's say he plays Andrew Wiggins minutes, are that he goes 6 of 8 from the field, shooting 70%. He's going to go, let's say 10 rebounds, a little over 1 assist, close to 2 steals, 4.3 blocks, which is the big number everyone keeps throwing around. His per 36 numbers are 4.3 blocks. It's a big wow for everybody. But then you get to his foul trouble. I mean, he's going to be averaging 12.4 points, which sounds fantastic. But in per 36 numbers, he'll be averaging 6 fouls a game because essentially this dude can't play defense. Like, he's like grabbing on players that are getting any guy gets physical with him under the rim, he's just grabbing around them because people look at his size. He's 7'1". 7'2", 240 pounds, but in reality, he's like a good 225, 230. He's really skinny, and he's going to have to work on that a lot. So, again, he's got a lot of work to do, and I'm sure he'll step it up. But he's just an idea of a player to watch out for off the bench because besides him, it's really just Noah Vonleh and Alonzo Trier that might get some work in this one. They like giving the ball to John Jenkins a lot because he's a little bit more of a veteran than those other guys. But Alonzo Trier has been kind of quiet since the first half of the season. And Noah Vonleh will probably play elsewhere next year. He's been really a nice, versatile wing to have for New York lately. But those three players off the bench are interesting to watch against Minnesota's bench, who might still be fairly injured in this one.
Here's the thing, is that a wily veteran like Taj Gibson should be able to victimize Robinson a lot.
Yes.
And this would be one of those games where I wouldn't be surprised if Taj had like 18 points just because of some of the guys like a Mitchell Robinson coming off the bench. And so I think that that's kind of a sneaky good prediction as well, that since you're bringing it up, is that Taj Gibson should have actually a really good game tonight just because he's playing against guys like Mitchell Robinson off that New York bench. And so I think the game on the inside for the Timberwolves just should be really good. They should have a dominant performance from guys like Gibson, Towns, Dario Saric. And I think that the points in the paint is going to be a stat that really bears out in a Timberwolves victory here. Let's get to a break for some sponsors and let's have some predictions, Trey. But first, sponsors. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, we've been talking about the New York Knicks, throwing out some stats for you. Now we're going to get to some predictions. I already talked a little bit about Taj Gibson and how I think he'll have a really big game. This New York Knicks team does not shoot the three well at all. And like I mentioned earlier, last in the league in three-point percentage. And that's just a big plus for the Timberwolves, who have had some wonky three-point games. They don't have to worry about that in this game. I don't think that there's going to be a guy that really destroys them from three and kind of swings the game because of three-point shooting. And so the Timberwolves can just kind of work away at the interior defense of the Knicks, which isn't anything special either. And so I think that this game is set up for the Timberwolves to take advantage of their strong suits, and then once they're doing that, they can pitch it out to guys who maybe aren't necessarily healthy like Tyus Jones or Derrick Rose, but can still take advantage of the New York Knicks because they're not expected to carry the load for this team this game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they have a couple three-point shooters, but they're not going to really do anything too crazy, I think, in this one. Like, Luke Kornet, who's coming off a pretty awful game, he was 3 of 16 and 3 of 10 from the three-point line. He's looked interesting this year. He's shooting 4 threes a game right now, and he's averaging 40% from the perimeter, so that's pretty good. So watch out from him. He's in the starting lineup. He'll probably play, like, 25 minutes in this one. Alonzo Trier can get you a three-pointer here and there. Damian Dotson's had a few games, but kind of going off what you're saying, there's no one really that jumps off this page, especially with Cantor being gone now, Courtney Lee being gone, Tim Hardaway being gone. This team's just a new-look organization. And I think Mario Hezonja is still hurt, so there's really not a lot for these players to do against a Minnesota team. My prediction of this one is essentially based off the numbers I'm seeing from New York in the past few games, or at least the past 10 games. There was a 8 games in a row during their 18-game losing streak where they couldn't get over 100 points scored, and they had over 100 points scored on them for 7 of those 8 games. The only other team that didn't get to 100 was Memphis, and as we know, as the Timberwolves know, or listeners know, Memphis cannot score 100 points, but they will definitely beat you if they hold you under 100 points, and that's exactly what happened. And in the past few games, they've scored over 100 points, but they've just given up so much. They just haven't won any except for Atlanta. So I would expect this one to be high scoring. That's what I was alluding to. And I think that Minnesota is probably going to win this one. I'll say 115 to 95. I would say it's a good double-digit win here, 20-point win here. I would expect Karl-Anthony Towns to only get around 30 minutes in this one. I don't think you need to overextend his playing time at all. If possible, if Andrew Wiggins is playing in this one, maybe try some new things out with him, some new plays out, some flare screens, something different, because I don't think you'll need to get ISO Wiggins in this one going at all. Give Tyus Jones some more playing time for sure if he's back in this one. Get him ready with some of the offense. If anything, get Tyus, Andrew Wiggins, and Towns on the floor at the same time. Let Dario toy a little bit with the backup unit on facilitating. Like, this is the time where we try some things out. And as you said before, which is a great point, let Taj Gibson just bully the guys down low that aren't DeAndre Jordan. Like, if it's like Mitchell Robinson and Kevin Knox down low, then, or Noah Vonleh, then go ahead, Taj, you know, go off. So I have a 20-point win in this one. How are you feeling, Colton?
Yeah, I'm feeling really confident about that as well, especially if they continue to share the basketball and pass. Like you were mentioning, no isolation from Wiggins. I don't really want isolation from much of anybody. I have here a really good nugget from the last two games for the Timberwolves, and it really coincides well with them playing a bad three-point shooting team. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, so over the last two games, over those last two Timberwolves victories, the percentage of three-point field goals made assisted, when they were assisted three-point field goals for the Timberwolves over the last two games, their percentage was 93.8% from three-point range when they were shooting assisted three-pointers.
Wow.
93.
Is that Jeff Teague doing all this?
I assume so. Best player in the league. But I think it's more than Jeff Teague, though. I think that they have really done a great job of passing the ball around, making the extra pass, as opposed to trying to dribble out or try to play isolation. I think that there's been better off-ball movement. I think that this team has just been flowing a lot better the last couple of games, and it's stats like that. And again, I realize it's a small sample size, but it's stats like that that show when a team is operating at a higher capacity, is that, hey, we're on a win streak, we're passing the ball around a little more, and look, when we're passing more, we're getting, I mean, if I'm Saunders, I'm showing stuff like that to my players. When we're passing the ball around, when we're making that extra effort, good things like this happen. And so I think it's easily accomplishable to beat the Knicks by 20 points if you continue to have that trend going after the All-Star break. Keep passing, keep making that extra pass, and good things are going to happen.
Well, Colton, can I say something? In the past two games, you know who we're without? We're without Andrew Wiggins.
And I know.
And I really think it's obvious, but because that was a great stat. So if you're a listener, that's some A-plus stuff right there. Like, please think about that for a second, because as much as we love Andrew Wiggins and as much as we want him to succeed, the number one thing we keep honing in on is he's shooting too much high-volume shots, and they're always contested. And that's usually not because he's getting the ball right from a pass. He's holding on to it, trying to go around a screen, very meander-like, and he pulls up a mid-range with a hand right in his face, and that's such the Andrew Wiggins game. If you have more facilitating around the perimeter, you can open up more guys, you can get more slashing in there, more backdoor cuts, just more driving to the lane even to kick out. Like, more facilitating in general will create a more versatile offense. And without Andrew Wiggins in these past two games, there you go, Colton. That was a great stat. I mean, that's what you'll get. You'll get over 90% from three-point line with – I mean, if you look at the past two games, every player on this team has gotten an assist or more except for Anthony Tolliver, which isn't a big deal. Like, Anthony Tolliver probably won't get any. But from Taj to Gorgie to Dario to Luau to Jeff Teague, Derrick Rose, Towns, all these guys are getting assists the past two games. Like, and that shows a lot of what this offense can be doing if they're not predicated around Andrew Wiggins' high-volume shooting.
Yep, absolutely agree. So we're both calling a 20-point win here, but we both need this team to pass. We need them to stay mobile. We need them to stay active, keep passing. I don't want to see any difference in the way they played the last two games, despite the health. I want to see the guys who are coming back and getting healthy, I want to see them graft right into the way they've been playing. I don't want to see changes from this Timberwolves team at all. So hopefully they can continue that trend. That game is going down tonight. Make sure to tune in. We will have a full report for you Monday, because there's going to be a very exciting Timberwolves weekend. Lots of action over the weekend. So we will have a full report on the weekend, breaking down everything that happened this coming Monday. Look out for that. But as of right now, just want to thank you again for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.